Anyway, we're here with Dave and Tom from the Emerald Dawn, who yesterday, as I'm sure you will know if you were watching, played an absolutely stunning set here at Fusion in Starport on 7. Dave and Tom, welcome. It's great to have you.
Hello. Hello. Thank you.
Hello. And can I say, guys, it's so nice to talk to you. When we were expecting to talk to Ali and Tree today, and Ali said, no, you're talking to Dave and Tom. And I said, fantastic, because, you know, they just get all the limelight, don't they, and it's great. So what we're looking for you is, you know, the inside story of the Emerald Dawn.
You're the back line, the backbone.
What it's really like. So if you want to dish any dirt, you know, then now is the time to do it.
Well, we got a tour to do first, so we'll wait till we get that out of the way.
We were talking about your tour, where you were talking about it's important to spread out the intervals between the music.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little about that?
Yes, well, when we were here 2 years ago, which, and often I find that if you have a band just performing every year in the same place, unless you've got a very dedicated following, then you can easily get sick of seeing them over and over again. So I think just leaving that space can really help, and absence makes the heart grow fonder, I think.
Yeah. And you know, The your gig yesterday, I think that's the fifth time I've seen you, and I know this sounds a little bit cliche, but every time I see you guys, it just keeps getting better and better, and everybody in the hall was saying the same. And do you feel that, you know, now you're gigging more, the act is becoming honed, and does it feel to you like it's sort of just improving all the time?
I think it is, and not only are we spending more time getting to perform and test it out, but we're just spending a lot more time playing and getting to know each other, how we work musically as well.
Yeah, I think it's more relaxed. The performance is more relaxed, and we're having more fun with it.
Absolutely.
Which is important, because it comes across.
Yes.
Let's talk about the beginning of the band. People don't know, the Emerald Dawn started as Ali and Tree met in Edinburgh.
That's right. They were up there, living up there. Then they decided to move down to Cornwall, and they just happened to see me in a pub in St. Ives performing with a band called The Dowling Thing. And we just got chatting, and they said that they do prog, and that they had this thing they were doing, just the two of them. And so I went round to their place, saw that they were living in a tiny little cottage just full of various instruments, all the keyboards and pseudo drums and things like that. And I thought, oh, that's pretty good. They played some of their demo things they've been doing. What they used to do was just essentially with their keyboards, guitar, sax, but they'd have a drum machine programmed on their keyboards, which doesn't sound that good, to be honest.
And I've never heard a drum machine sound good personally.
You can if what's that
it's almost too clean. It's too precise.
I'm trying to remember what that track's called. There's that. What was that? It wasn't Prince's band. There was another one. He had was the time. Was it? Oh, but they had like a track like 777-534 or something. But that's a really good one that Prince programmed.
Right.
Which sounds awesome. But I digress. Yeah. they talk about
live musicians, not machines.
Yeah. But I really liked the stuff they were playing, and thought you know, it'd be good. Good to actually do something together, and they said, "Well, do you want to do stuff?" And then they moved to Penzance. We had a little studio space, and that's when we did first album, Searching for the Lost Key, just filmed in essentially the basement of the place they were staying in. And then they moved to where they live now, just up the road from St. Ives, and we they had an extension put, which we use as studio, and. And yes, since then we've been working together, and when we had a different bass player for a short while when we did the second album, but he wanted to go do other things, and that's when we thought, well, we need to find another bass player. And the first person who came to chat with us and jam with us, Mr. David Greenaway.
Yeah. So David, you were already playing in different bands around the Cornwall area.
Yes. Well, I've done sort of music most of my life, really. So if you like, I'm a musical prostitute.
Yeah.
So I go wherever I'm paid to go and play, and play whatever I'm asked to play.
Yeah.
But what's nice with this is with the original stuff, it gives you an artistic and emotional outlet, if you like, which you don't get playing covers.
Speaking of artistic and emotional outlet, Tree is an incredible artist.
Oh yes.
All the album covers from the band are Tree's art, right?
That's right. Yeah. And the inner sleeve artworks as well.
Right.
It's all her. In fact, pretty much, apart from just manufacturing the CDs and the vinyl, it's all in-house. We produce it ourselves, record it ourselves, do our own artwork. The only thing we do is just send it to a company to actually manufacture them. Mm. But otherwise, it's us, really.
That's excellent.
Which is great, because we don't have to then spend a lot of money or limited time with producers and hiring studios and things like that, which eats away and sort of forces you to be do everything so quickly. But we can really take our time, make sure we get it the way we want it as well. So, yeah.
Let's talk about influences.
Yeah.
All of us are influenced by what we heard growing up. Mm-hmm. Start here.
Well, I was mainly influenced by classical music when I was younger.
Okay.
But then one day I heard a piece of music that sort of changed my life, and it was actually Deep Purple in Rock, to be honest with you, because I changed from just playing flamenco and acoustic guitar stuff.
The album with the heads.
That's right. Yeah.
It's Mount Rushmore to me.
That's right. Well, I heard that, and it immediately changed me, and I liked rock, and then I started going to see live bands. No, to be honest with you, I started off playing guitar, but then I realised I actually liked the deep noises more. So then I picked up the bass and started playing the bass, and I've been there ever since. I just love playing the bass, to put it bluntly.
Okay, Tom?
Well, for me, it was a bit cliche, but it was the Beatles. When I was a kid, the first film I saw was Yellow Submarine, and really liked the music. And then my grandmother, who's from Liverpool, showed me lots of kind of old footage, like Ready, Steady, Go, and seeing the bands, I thought, oh, that looks awesome. And seeing Ringo's drum kit and that logo, I just thought, that's pretty cool. And so I thought, I'd give drums a try. And with that, I then went through all my dad's records, lots of old kind of blues and rock and roll and things like that, soul records. And my mum loved a lot of classical music and Motown and things like that. So I'd borrow her CDs and listen to that. And just any music I found, I would just listen to. And
There's a jazz influence to your drumming.
Yes.
What family does that come from?
That's probably again from my dad's side. He had a few jazz records. I remember got Miles Davis' Seven Steps to Heaven with the great Tony Williams drumming there, and just thought,
one of the best sessions drummers.
Absolutely. Ever. And then I had relatives who loved Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa. My uncle introduced me to that. And from then, when I was studying music at college, they also had a jazz degree. And I thought, well, that's a no-brainer. So I did that and made contacts, got on the jazz scene, going to jam sessions, and I still do the odd jazz gig back home as well. And it's great. That's why I like what we do here, because we can bring all those influences into this stuff, because I'm pretty much a fusion guy. I really like the idea.
I was going to say that. The thing about progressive rock is that, you know, influences from classical, jazz and other genres of music fit very nicely into prog. It blends very much together.
Yes.
And prog itself reaches out. You know, obviously on Progzilla Radio, we play loads of different bands. Mm. Some jazzy, some ambient, some heavier, some very light, some verging on pop. Prog crossover, and it must be really good to bring your sort of jazz and your classical backgrounds into this sort of music. Does that influence the way that the albums have developed?
It has. I'm also a metalhead, so I'm trying to bring in a bit more of a kind of metal kind of thing, particularly with this latest one that we're doing.
But you're not heavy-handed. You're not a heavy-handed drummer.
I can be if I have to be. but try to get a bit more kind of double pedal work kind of thing in. I'm not efficient enough to do proper kind of metal drumming, but I like that kind of heaviness and a bit of punch to it.
I tend to like rock as well, so I'm quite willing to
give it a bit of. How much influence do you guys have on the writing of the music? Is that totally down to Ali and Tree, or do you get input into that as well?
We both get input, because you know, Ali or Tree will come up with an idea and then we'll sort of play it or jam on it, and some end up by the wayside and others end up in songs. You know, and whoever has the idea.
It's quite possible they'll have been working on something at the home studio and play it back to you and just say, that's not going to work, well, let's do it this way instead.
No, we try most things. We don't say that's not going to work, we're quite willing to try anything, you know. But after a while you just have to accept, you know, that's not particularly going anywhere.
No,
it is, you know. But there's always an element of luck.
Well, and everybody always gets a solo, and everybody can write their own solo.
Yeah.
You get the basic notes and then you work from that.
Yeah, I suppose.
That would be great.
So the new album is underway recording wise. It's Timeless, yeah. Is that right?
That's the latest track. Right. That's the track we performed yesterday, which will be on it.
So the album title is
In Time.
In Time. Yes. And so it's effectively the title track.
Pretty much. I think all of them have time shoved in there somewhere. It's not a very subtle album.
Am I right thinking it's another very long proggy album?
Let me get you moving a little bit.
The tracks are long.
It's kind of our trademark.
Long form music. So three or four tracks on the album?
Three.
Wow, three. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think.
So three, what, 20 minute tracks?
One track I think is 20 minutes. That will take up one side on vinyl, and the other two will just fit on the other side.
Fantastic. So what stage are we at with the recording and the development of that at the moment?
About halfway through. I've got. About 99.5% of the drums done. There's just one little bit where I kind of messed up the timing of it, so we're just going to quickly band-aid it, and that'll fix that. Then I think
I've stuck bass down almost to just guide it. But the way it works is if you know you come along and you think, that's a bit more inspiring. Now I want to do my bit again. But we're taking more time with this one.
And of course, Ali and Tree have developed the studio at Dawn Cottage now. Yeah. So is all the work, is all the production work, the rehearsal, the recording all done there now?
It's all done there.
Yeah, which must make it a whole lot easier and also make it a lot less expensive to produce an album.
Absolutely,
it makes a very, very big difference. Yeah. Because, you know, if you've got to book a studio and then you've got to pay for it and go in, and you're aware of the time again, it puts even more pressure on you, say, to get everything right. Mm.
Yeah.
But if you've got the time, you can just, I'll do that again. Which is wonderful.
And if a take's not working, we could just go, should we leave it today and come back tomorrow? Yeah. And then you're refreshed and you get
that
take.
But that's the beauty of doing a home studio, kind of.
Exactly.
You guys both live within the West Cornwall area as well, don't you?
Yeah, I'm in St Ives, so I'm only about half an hour's walk and such. And you're a bit further out.
I'm about 10 miles away.
Yeah, you managed to avoid being attacked by seagulls on your way up the hill, do you, if you're carrying a pasty?
Yeah, well, luckily they stay on the harbour front, and I've had seagulls attack me when I've been pasty. I had one just fly into the back of my head. It's not fun.
I live by the sea as well in South Devon, so I can vouch for that. But believe me, the South Devon seagulls are trained in St Ives. They are the devils of seagulls.
Oh, yes.
and events like this, like Fusion, like Summer's End, and the festivals that are really expanding now, there's so many of them around.
Yeah.
Does that make it easier for bands like the Emerald Dawn to gig without going to the expense of hiring a venue and all the gear and everything else? Mm. Does it really help?
The festival atmosphere. You're going to do Neen Valley if that happens.
If that happens, fingers crossed, touch wood. So yes, we'll be doing that on the Sunday, I think, which will be the 3rd of September. Yeah.
So
a festival is sort of, it has its problems, as in on-stage sounds and different bands and all this.
Is it the sound check time? Is that what
that's what I mean. It's a gig, you go in there, you take your time. But the thing is, the festival gives you almost a guaranteed audience to play to, you know, because there's more people.
Yeah. Because it's a community of music that's coming.
But you mentioned COVID. I mean, after that, people were naturally reclusive, you know. So if you went and did a gig, you might have 7 or 8 people, and you couldn't blame people for not coming out. So the festivals are a good thing. The other thing is, living in Cornwall with the Emerald Dawn, there's not really that many what you call cog venues.
No.
There's really only the one, and as we mentioned earlier, so we have to change the set every year.
Every time I speak to Ali and Tree, this is the conversation we have, and it's certainly initially. It was a case of, you know, we're in West Cornwall, most of the gigs are up country, it's going to take us 5 hours before we even sort of get anywhere near. You know, it's like two hours to the end of the M5.
Yeah.
Is that still an issue, or is that becoming easier? Or is it, I guess it's always going to be the case.
No, I mean, I spent a lot of time as a professional musician anyway, so I was used to travelling all over the place. Yeah. Mm. So I'm used to that.
So it seems to me that the Emerald Dawn, you know, certainly from us, we were saying every time we see you guys, it seems to be getting better and better. And certainly the awareness of the band is increasing. You're getting more mentions in Prog Mag, Facebook forums, this sort of thing. It's glowing reviews every time. It must feel to you like the whole thing is getting bigger.
It really does. It still hasn't quite sunk in. Still just go, ooh, when I see someone wearing a t-shirt or with the keyhole or something like that, it's like...
That's a strange thing.
It is.
Seeing people wear your t-shirts, you know, you've almost got to look twice. And, that's us.
Yeah. I know.
Sort of thing.
It's wonderful, the feedback we're getting, and so many people just saying so many nice things. It's really makes it feel worth it. It's wonderful.
Well, Prague people are the nicest people in the world. Out of rock fans, metal fans, punk fans, yeah. jazz fans. Prague people, it's like when I come back to Fusion and Summer's End, it's like a family reunion.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to say the same thing. Seeing everyone here, we've seen people we met at New Day Festival, people we met at Summer's End, people who come down to see us at 1865 or so. Everyone's here, pretty much. And it's
and you become like lifelong friends
yeah.
and look forward to, oh, that guy's going to be at the festival
yeah,
coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's like a weekend of family, of aunts and uncles that you like.
Yeah.
And do you know what I like as well? It's like you guys are here today. And it's a case of, you know, the band, you do your set on stage, but then you stick around to watch the other bands as well. So you change from being a performer to being a fan like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Which is great, isn't it? You know, it would be so easy to do your set and clear off home and...
Well, the musicians are like the most accessible to their fans in a Prague environment.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all sitting with musicians amongst us in the seating, listening to other musicians, and not hiding backstage in a, you know, in a cushy little back room with this spread of all the beer and all the food. It would be nice, though, but
not yet.
No, yeah,
no. I think we got some crackers and water.
We were saying this to one or two of the other bands that you know, stations like Proxilla Radio, without wishing to blow our own trumpet, but we are the stations that play your music, it's our pleasure to play the music that you put all your heart and soul in creating. You know, we just get spinning. But it's, you know, it does give an outlet, and it's very difficult to get onto mainstream radio with progressive rock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Songs are too long, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Far too long.
Maybe it's meant to be a 3-minute tune.
Your albums are made for my slide into a side. Because there's only one song on the side.
Exactly. That
works perfect.
There we go.
Yeah, matter of fact, when I got the album shipped over, I got one of the numbered copies, which we figured out is less valuable, or signed copies, which is less valuable than the unsigned copies, because more are signed than not signed. But what I did is I brought it over from Summer's End, I had it shipped. It wasn't ready yet. And when it came in, I made it my slide into a side album feature. Fit right in. That's the kind of music. It's just not music that you can throw a 5-minute track in here and there. Like 95% of other music is in the 5-minute or less range. And then to put a show together, we have to mix and match. And it's almost like you're saying, well, am I giving this song too much time versus this song? And then when you get to our radio, where there is no commercials, nobody's telling us what to play, and nobody's telling us what to say. And that makes it a truly artistic project. Every week we do a show.
Yeah.
It's artistic.
We give them the freedom to create and hone it and format it as we want to. But yeah, absolutely fantastic.
It's the Prague community.
Just before we get taken off, you guys are touring again very soon, aren't you? And
you're actually
the first time heading up to Scotland.
That's right.
And the north of England
as well. Right, yeah, we've got... we'll be playing in Glasgow and Edinburgh. Unfortunately, I can't remember the name of the venues, but it's on our website, on our Facebook page, and on the website and stuff, so you can find us there. So we're doing Glasgow, then Edinburgh, then Newcastle and Hull. So we'll be doing a nice little northern tour, which will be excellent.
Yeah, that is going to be a long journey. Are you going to break up the journey on the way?
We do have a day off in Edinburgh, staying with friends, I think, so we'll be doing that, take a break, and then heading back down on my birthday, which will be fun.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully you'll be
party in the van.
Stop and get you a cake.
Party in the van.
Stop and get you a cake at a motorway service station.
Yeah, a big fry on that one, I mean.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.